Thanks for listening to our Living Word Christian Center podcast. Today you're going to hear a message from our senior pastor, Pastor Ruben Reyna. Pastor Ruben will continue on his series entitled Double Portion. Without further ado, let's jump into our word.
Such an awesome, awesome God. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. Woo. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Maybe Raymond will make me one. One of these great days. Raymond, are you here? It's the Lord, Raymond. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Kings, Second Kings, chapter 2. We're going to be dealing with the double portion disciple again. And I think we covered a lot of area, but I don't think we're done. There's so much to learn in such a short time. There's a scripture in the Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 4 of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read it to you. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Now, what a contrast. Why would God say that? Why would King Solomon say such a word? Because he's talking about life. When you're dead, I don't care if you're a lion, I don't care if you're a king, life has gone away from you. So he's saying, I'd rather be a live dog, a little chihuahua, than a dead lion. So here it is. We need more life than ever, because life is more important than dying, because we only live once. And if we live once, we might as well live under the presence of God where we are alive. I won't walk around when I'm dead on the earth. I'll walk around in heaven, but I want to be alive here. So that means that if we're going to be a prophet, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we better have some fire inside of us. We better have some glory inside of us. Instead of walking around dead in our spirit, we ought to appreciate that we're alive, and more because we have God. So we need to look at ourselves. I don't want to be a dead lion. I want to be a dog that is alive. That's why they say, hey, where are you going, dog? I think I got the revelation now. What's up, dog? What's up is because, hey, we got some life in us. Life is us. So we need life. So I want to read here in chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to go from Gilgal. Then we went to Bethel. Now we're going into Jericho. And the sons, verse 3, and the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, that's it. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Say with me, Jericho. Jericho. Jericho, when Stella and I went to Israel, they took us to Jericho. And they took us to go see the walls of Jericho. And they said, here's the walls of Jericho. And me and Stella were brand new in the Lord. And I said, well, where's the wall? There's nothing there. He said, well, this is the foundation of Jericho. There was little walls, you know how you see brick upon brick and stuff like that? It was right there. Jericho was right there. And we didn't know the Bible too well until we started reading Joshua, that and the history of that great city. They say that they had big lanes where you could put three chariots on top of the walls and go around. And these people that were there, there were people that were amazing people, but they were living for themselves. And the city of Jericho there's a name for it, or there's phrases for it to describe that city. One of them was a fragrance. When you hear Jericho, everybody talked about fragrance. And it was an enticing place. It was a romantic place, but it also was a seducing place. So those are the four words that they give you because it was enticing. It's just like a vacation place. How many have ever been where there's a lot of palm trees, ocean, or just plain desert? But this place, the city was so beautiful, the people were entertaining, and yet there was a lot of palm trees. They said that they had a bunch of palm trees, beautiful palm trees. How many love palm trees? Palm trees are beautiful, especially when the sun just shoots on top of the palm tree. It glimmers all the leaves. They're beautiful trees. And they had a lot of them surrounding the whole place. And it was a great place. But what we don't understand is that Elijah was concerned about Elisha. Because sometimes you could see a city and think that it's beautiful until you spend 10 days there. Then you start finding out that really the beauty is just a facade. And you start finding out that there's a lot of problems going on in that city. And I believe that Elijah was taking him to show him that he needed to experience what he had experienced. Amen. A lot of times we want the things of God, but we don't think about the experiences that we're going to face. We don't think about that. Because this place, the reason why he took them there is because that's where Ahab and Jezebel tormented that prophet. So he went through hell. All every demon and every power that came against him, the Bible says that it was so strong that he had to leave Jericho and go find God in the mountains. So sometimes you're going to find out that a city represents the type of spirit that's there. Behind the scenes, you're going to find out. It's just like when you say the L.A., the city of angels. Well, I've never seen any angels. I've seen fallen angels, but that's about it. But they give you this flavor to come and visit the city, and they call it the city of angels. Well, there ain't no angels. I mean, we know about angels, but there's the other type of angels that drag people down. And the prophet wanted him to see this and to feel it because he got attacked in that city. He got hit mentally, physically, spiritually. He had strongholds that he couldn't break because the Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you and I'm going to put a contract on you and you're not going to escape me. He put that fear, but Jezebel was so demonized that when she spoke, there were just not mere words. There were anointed words by the devil. And how many know that sometimes you could feel when somebody is under the presence of the devil that when they speak, you could sense it on your mind. You could sense it on your body. You can sense it on your spirit. And it lingers on you and it starts forming strongholds in your mind. And those strongholds start eating your energy and confusing you. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus breaks all of those things. So when he saw this place, when Elijah saw this place and took him through there, he wanted Elisha to have his eyes open, that it was going to cost him. It was going to cost him if he wanted the double portion. It was going to cost him because it was going to cost him because he's going to have to surrender to the duties of servanthood and yet be right in the middle of chaos. And even though this city looked very romantic, there was nothing romantic about it because there was a stronghold and there was the seed of evil buried in that place. The seed of evil buried in that place. So, you know, some people, you know, they like to go to these nice places to have a romantic time, but they don't even know what they're picking up after the romance. Hello, operator. All of a sudden, you know, you want to get to drinking. All of a sudden, you want to get to partying because that's the atmosphere of that place. Well, everybody else is doing it, so why don't we do it? And Elijah wanted Elisha to feel and to sense all that because that's where he was tormented in his lifetime, Jezebel. But let's talk about a little bit about passing the mantle, because this man was after, he was after the double portion. Am I correct on that? He was after the double portion. But he didn't know how that double portion was going to come, and he didn't know how that anointing was flowing through Elijah. He didn't know, because Elijah had a history, and his history was that he had to encounter certain things against his life, and that is what increased the anointing. The more you get hit, the more trouble comes your way, the more bad circumstances come your way, and the more you say to God, I'm going to serve you, I don't care what comes my way, I'm going to serve you, that's when you're going to know that after all that happens to your life, God begins to increase the anointing and you don't even know it. So that's why I like to see people that come out of the fire. That's why I like to see people that come out of the storms. Because when they come out of all those problems, I look at them and I look at the fire inside of their eyes. And they said, I made a decision that I'm going to serve God no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hot it gets. I'm going to serve God with everything that I got. You see, it takes a real man and a real woman that if you really want something from God, you're going to have to pay with your life. Because the romance is going to be gone, the fragrance is going to be gone, and you are going to be a little chihuahua that is alive. You're getting the picture now. The word mantle, say with me, mantle. Was used to be covered with the covering all over your life. Elijah's mantle was more than just a piece of cloth. More than just a piece of cloth. And some people say that it was probably the tradition used by the Jews where they used a tallit. And maybe it was, but his mantle covered every part of his body. He practically used it for a blanket. So it was a mantle. So a mantle is not just a cloth that you put over. A mantle is a big piece of cloth that you're wearing. It's almost like Zorro when he used his mantle. So Elijah had this mantle, and Elijah understood a lot of things that we do not understand. And these are symbols, just symbols. So number one, I'm going to give you this one before I go any further. One, it represents a divine, how can I say it? It's very easy. Intimacy. That's the word I'm using. It represents an intimacy with you and with God. Now, Elijah, I brought Stella's little, whatever they call it. This we use in the bed. And, you know, we use it just to cover ourselves sometimes when it gets cold and we don't want the heater on, you know. And I like this color. It's nice. Very, very nice. It's nice. So I'm going to put it on me, okay? Nice. You know. So this is the symbol of intimacy. Intimacy. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, when he's running away from Jezebel and Ahab, guess where he goes? He goes to hear God and he goes up to the mountains. In Kings chapter 9, verse 13, it says, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So how did he do that? He wrapped himself. Can you still hear me? Yeah. He wrapped himself, I mean, totally.
probably just peaked. And he was praying. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, he was praying. He was praying, and he was at the there at the edge of the little cave that he had, and he was looking for God. I don't know if he was standing or moving, or the Bible says that he was there. And as he was there, God started speaking to him, and there was an anointing that came out of his intimacy. In other words, see through me. I have a big need, so you need to see through me. So when you get close to God and you wrap yourself with something like this, it is symbolic that you're having conversation with God, just you and God, and you're not listening to anybody else. You just want to hear God. And this is when God started speaking to Elijah, because he started having a relationship with him, because he was so drained by being chased by Jezebel and Ahab that he was so depressed that he needed to hear a word from God. And let me tell you something, things get tough sometimes. We don't want to hear people no more. Actually, what we want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear the voice of God that says, son, I am still with you. Son, I have not left you. Son, I'm going to do something powerful for your life. Son, it's not over yet. You might be a chihuahua, but you're alive. The lion is dead, but the chihuahua is alive. So it represents intimacy. Second of all, it represents a supernatural call of God. A supernatural call of God. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. This is after everything that is gone, and he said to Elisha, Elijah departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 oxen before, and he was with 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So here's this dude that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This guy was a hard worker. Anybody that is running 12 oxen, can you imagine him? He is plowing with 12 oxen. I mean, there's six on this side and six on the other side. And he's got the reins of all of them. And he's plowing. They say that he came from a wealthy family, but he wasn't a lazy individual. Usually what God calls, he calls people that are not lazy. He calls people that are busy doing something and working hard, following what God wanted him to do. And he was plowing, man. He was plowing away. There was probably dirt everywhere, flying, dust everywhere. He was full of dust, but he was there plowing, man. He was anxious to keep his family alive, to keep mom and dad alive. He was anxiously plowing. 12 oxen. Can you hear them? Man, those oxen, they're huffing and puffing, and they're moving, and he's plowing and plowing and plowing. And here comes Elijah. Here comes Elijah. And God had said, go over there to his house, and I want you to anoint that man, and I want you to separate him for me. Because you're about to leave. Now you got to leave something behind. Huh? Let's see here. Chip, come here. Pass by right there, bro. You're plowing. Pretend you're plowing, bro. I'm passing by. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hoo! Then toss it back to me. Now, come running to me. Come and follow me. And now say these words to me. Say, can I go and say goodbye to mom and dad? Can I go and just have a little party for them and just go? Just tell me those words.
Can I go and have a party with my family before I go?
This is what the prophet said. He said, what on earth has happened to you? Do whatever you want to do. That's what it says. Can you handle that? Elijah did not even know what on earth took place in his life. He was just obeying, but the tradition was that the presence of God was on the cloth.
And it transformed his life. He didn't say a sinner's prayer. It just hit him. He had to let go of his job, his plow. He went back and burned the plow. He killed all the oxen. He had a big party. And he says, you know what? It's over for my life. I am not doing this anymore. I'm going to go follow Jesus with everything I got. It doesn't matter how much money I got. I'm going to go follow Jesus. Thank you, Alicia. So you're getting the picture. The anointing. Say with me, the anointing. The anointing is what calls you. And when it hits you so hard, you want to quit working, you want to quit doing everything, and yet God calls you at work. Where did he find the tax collector? Matthew, he found him working. Where did he find the Peter, James, and John? They were fishing. All of them. And yet he passed by and says, come and follow me. Never did they say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to provide for myself. I don't know this. They never questioned anything. They dropped everything, the Bible says, and they went and followed Jesus. So God anoints people that are responsible. People that are responsible, people that don't hate the letter work, the four-letter word, work. Tell your neighbor, work, neighbor. If you're retired, you know, take it easy. But if you have to, you work. You work. Why? Because that shows a characteristic that you're not going to be smooshing for people to support you. Come on now, somebody. So people, God needs people that are heavily at work. Me and Stella, when we got married, Stella worked just a little while. And I told her, you ain't working no more. I'm going to support you. However I can, I want to support you. I want you to take care of my kids. We agreed that she was going to take care of my kids until they grew up. Man, it took a long time, but she did it. She did it. She did it, and she applied herself. She says, I don't want to minister. I don't want to be nothing. I just want to be your wife, and I want to take care of the kids. That was a lot of work. 24 hours a day feeding Joy, Angel, Lisa, Chanel, Jason, and Brenda, and feeding all of them. That's a lot of work. If you say that a woman ain't got a full-time job, you're a fool. That woman takes care of you, changes your sheets, washes your clothes, cooks for you, prays for you, attends to the needs of the kids. And then when it's time for them to work, they work. And when they work, they do work. They do a good job. A woman, if you don't do anything, she'll do it for you and better. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, my mom raised eight of us. Can you imagine that? Eight of us. Eight of us. And she used to say, come here, dogs, in Spanish, chuchus. She invented the word chuchu, the dog. She invented it. And we all ran, and she would tell us, not you, chuchu, not you, chuchu, but you, chuchu. I don't know what you guys are doing here, but this chuchu I want. But she was a tough woman. She's still a tough woman. And I believe we got some tough women in here. I believe that we got some preachers here that are women. I believe that God put some fire inside of you and you'll do something for God. I don't believe that you're limited just to men. I believe that the ladies have a word of God inside of them and they need to preach and they need to let it out. The same way with men. We need to let it out. Men, we protect the house of God. We protect our houses because we're men. We protect them. That's our duty. That's why we like to fight. We like to shoot. We like to eat. We like to sleep. And then we get up and do the same thing. So what was I saying? It's a supernatural call. Say it with me. It's a supernatural call. Once God touches your life, you ain't going to get away. If you've been saved and God called you, I don't care where you go. Even if they put you inside of a fish like they did Jonah, you're still going to have to serve God whether you like it or not. Because he wants you, and when he wants somebody, he's going to get you. And when he gets you, he's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Amen. Number three, the mantle represents also an investment of authority. When you walk, when you speak, when you're anointed, you have authority. You have authority over every devil, every demon of hell. You got authority. And here's the thing. You got to use your authority. You got to stir up the pot inside of your life, and you got to stir yourself up, and you got to say, you know what, devil, get out of my way. I'm not just an ordinary person. I'm a supernatural person, and I'm going to use, whether I preach or don't preach, I'm going to cast me out some devils. I'm going to see some people delivered, but I'm going to be using what God gave me. I'm just not going to walk around without walking in the authority. Authority is an investment that God has placed in you. It's an investment. And that investment, you got to use it. If you don't use it, what happens to coins? What happens to dollars? They just stay there. Money is not traded. Money is not spent because you're still doing whatever you want to do. You want to save it all. And God said, I don't want you to save it all. I want you to become currency, and I want you to give it out just like you give out currency, just like you use currency. I want you to use it. I want you to use it the way you would like to use it, but use it and do something that is profitable. Because I invested my authority. How many have a good last name here? Tell me if you like your name or you don't like it, but you have one. Your last name. Huh? I don't want to hear your last name. I just want you to know you have a last name. Why did they give you a last name? They gave it to you so you can leave a legacy. When they say Reuben Reyna, I know that crazy guy. That guy was crazy. For God. Not crazy for the world. God wants you to leave a legacy. So here he is. Now you know about the mantle. I had to throw that out. Because that's what caught Elisha. That's why he was so hungry. And he was probably passing by, because when you're anointed and when you're called, you don't care about the circumstances. And you don't need to understand everything. That's why Elijah was taking him everywhere he had been. And even though it was the long way around, he was doing it so that he could feel the impact of the cities, so that he could see what was going on spiritually, so he could see that everything that he had inside of him was going to be used for those people. And I got news for you. Some of you are so anointed. But the enemy tells you, you're nothing, you'll never accomplish nothing, you'll never do anything. Let me tell you something, you're going to do the greatest things in this whole wide world, in your simplicity, at your job, in the place that you go to school. God's going to use you, but you got to place yourself there. Say with me, I'm anointed. To bring results. And I'm going to bring results. I'm not going to belittle myself. Because I'm a giant in the eyes of God. I might be a chihuahua, but I have some life inside of me. I got some life inside of me. I got some power inside of me. I got some Holy Ghost power, and I'm going to stir it up, and I'm going to use it. Use it. Use it. God didn't save you just to sit you down. There's periods of sitting you down, and then there's periods of you getting involved and doing something for God. This man was only one. And yet, there he stands at Jericho. And the prophet was trying to tell him, Jericho brought a lot of suffering to me. Jericho almost beat me to the ground. Jericho, man, I had all kinds of demons chase me. That's why I ran to the mountains. He says, but I want you to know one thing, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You cannot get comfortable in Jericho. You got to keep working, working, working. Jericho is a deceiving place that looks good, but has many hands trying to grab you and defeat you. How many here have ever felt that you were defeated? Matter of fact, this week has been a great week, but sometimes it gets pretty bad. How many here have ever felt that you were defeated? You almost said, you know what, I'm later for this. I'm not coming back. But you're here still. What brought you back? You did. God did. Until you get back to where you belong, because there, you chihuahua. I want you to have, if you're alive, you're better than a dead lion. If you're alive, you're better than a dead lion. What is it saying? Life is more beautiful than anything else. Come on, give me a smile. Let me have a smile. Man, you're going to destroy this earth with that smile. Why? Because the enemy doesn't like you to smile. The enemy likes to see you defeated, oppressed, distressed. Just think of the way you used to be. That was an ugly person. Why bring ugly here when you're a chihuahua full of life and the lion is dead? You're more precious to God than anything else. Come on, stand with me. And I want you to stand and I want you to give the Lord a good clap offering. A good clap offering. Come on. A good clap offering. Come on, now praise Him with everything you got. I feel some energy in this house. I feel some power in this house. I feel some glory in this house. I feel something beautiful breaking off of you. You are a person that is full of life. The lion is dead, but you're still alive. People are dead around you, but you're still alive. People are dead and gone, but God said you're still alive. And take advantage of the life that God has placed inside of you. Give Him praise and give Him honor and use everything you got for the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shake it off of you. Just shake it off of you. Shake it off of you. I'm anointed for a purpose. God has called me for a purpose. I am more powerful and more deadly today than I've ever been. Hallelujah. Woo. I don't know about you. I feel like I'm having church. 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 Because what we need to realize is the life. Better to have an alive dog than a dead lion. So take that home with you. In the morning, roll out of bed and say, thank you, Jesus, for life. I can still praise you. I'm going to praise you with everything I got because I have life. Amen. Think about it. You got life. God hasn't called your number yet. So enjoy it. And enjoy what's on you. What's on you. I want you to close your eyes right now. Lord God, I thank you for your people. I pray your presence upon us so heavily. Increase it in us. I know that this year is a year of blessing. A year where you're going to do great things and many souls are going to come to the Lord. Make us part of that. We want to be part of that. We don't want to die like a lion. We want to live, Father. We want to live. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I need Jesus in my life. I want you just to take a step right where you're standing and just say, I need Jesus, and I want you to get over here because God wants you to be full of life. Come on, just step out. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. If you're hungry enough, you're going to come and you're going to say, I need life. You have the life of this world, but you need more than that. Would you come quickly? Come on, quickly, quickly. If there's nobody here, maybe you say, Pastor Reuben, I came to church, but I've gone through a lot of stuff. I want you to come right now, real quickly. Feel